Cat Williams been talking, man. And he came for everybody.
He came for everybody.
He came for everybody from Steve Harvey to Kevin Hart to Cedric the Entertainer to whoever, you name it. You've worked with Jamie Foxx. All these rumors about what happens in Hollywood and the things that you got to do to be able to make it. You got to sell your soul. You've got to do, you got to become gay. You got to suck some.
I've seen things. I've heard things. I was actually a physical producer on Rambo, and I took it to another level with bringing finance into it. I was homeless in New York City for about 6.5 months. You have to believe in something that you can't see, but that's the pure definition of faith.
What's going on, people? This is your boy, Michael O, your chief motivational officer. Listen, I am excited to bring you a brand new podcast, Moving Mountains, hosted by myself. Find me on Spotify, find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube. Connect with us, Moving Mountains Podcast.
What's going on, people? Welcome to the Moving Mountains Podcast. I am your host, Michael O. Welcome to another episode filled with gems, filled with some good stuff for you guys. You know me, I'm always bringing you guests that will give you practical tools to be able to help you get from where you are to where you want to go. And for me, you know, one thing that I've noticed for us, we're not lacking of talent. We're not lacking of gifts. We're not lacking of creativity. It's just a lot of the time we're lacking the confidence to be able to go out there and share our gifts with the world. And my guest today, my guest today has gone and done just that, right? So I'm going to be bringing out of him the things, the tools that have helped him to be able to hone his skills and be able to go out there and work with some of the best in Hollywood. Let me give you a little background about him. So he's a Hollywood sensation. Right. He's risen up the ranks in Hollywood from being an actor and writer to now a producer and executive producer, being the first African-American to join the ranks of executive producer on Sylvester Stallone's Rambo, The Last Blood. I absolutely love that film. I think it came out in 2019. And he's also served as executive producer on the biopic about Nikola Tesla's life, which was released in 2020, called Tesla. My guest today, Elijah Long, has written and produced for Paramount Pictures, Ciroc, and even Jamie fucking Fox. You get me? Today, I'm going to get him to share some of those principles, like I said, and how you can trust and believe in your creativity and your gifts to be able to go out there and share it with the world. Did you like that intro, brother?
Brother.
You like that?
I don't know. Who are you introing, bro? Damn. That's a hell of an intro, man. Thank you, man. Come on, I appreciate bro. You
it's
so
facts.
Much, Michael.
It's all facts. Thank it's all you, facts. Brother. Welcome thank to you. The Moving Mountains Podcast, brother.
Man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Come
really
on. Appreciate come it. On. Listen, I love your journey. I love what you've gone out there and done. For me, I'm always wanting to bring people who have gone in there, got out there and done the work, mm-hmm. have got the credits for mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. so that you can come and show us how you did it. Mm-hmm. Right. I want to educate my audience a little bit.
Okay.
What is the practical difference between a producer and an executive producer on a project? Let me start with that, because this is something that I've been in the industry for a minute, but this is something that I need some clarity of myself.
You know what? I actually get that a lot. Yeah. And it's not just between the producers, the different kind of producers, but I get that a lot in regards to what's the difference between a director and a producer? You know,
so many different titles.
So many different titles. There are so many different levels of producers, starting at associate producer to co-producer to line producer. Like, everyone has their specific job. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. When I was doing music videos, it was creative producer. Got because it. You're not only writing the treatments, I'm also doing the budgeting. I'm also hiring the staff. I'm
and
also
the treatment is the storyline, right?
Of the storyline of the video. Every project should have a beginning, middle, and end, regardless if it's a music video, what it may be. Yeah. But the difference specifically with a executive producer and a producer on the film, couple of different things. I'll give Rambo as an example. I was a producer on the actual project. I was a co-producer on the actual project. However, the film actually needed funding as well, and I brought funding to that. There so that go. Takes you from producer to executive producer status. Typically, when you see that title, executive producers associated with the money. Executive producer is also associated with the studio or network, potentially distributors. Yeah. You know, you might have put a deal together. One of my mentors, Will Packer, he was an executive producer on, I don't know why the name slips me, with the film with Dr. Dre, and it was about How does this film slip me? It's a classic. What's the film? What's the
with
film?
With Dr. Dre?
With it's the story of Dr. Dre, Ice Cube.
Oh, yes.
See,
we're both straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton.
Oh my God. So he's telling me about this project, and I'm like, Will, congratulations. He said, bro, I did very little on that film. At the particular time, the project was at another studio. Will helped facilitate it to Universal, executive producer credit. So it's those little nuances that, you know, can get somebody an executive producer credit. But I was actually a physical producer on Rambo, and I took it to another level with bringing finance into it.
Fantastic. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Aren't you glad we got that out of the way? Bro, let me take it back a little bit, because you're an actor. Mm-hmm. You're a writer, mm-hmm. of course, now producer and executive producer. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, what I've spoken to so many people who have ideas, because ideas are a dime a dozen, aren't they? Everybody's got an idea.
Ideas, right? Without execution are just dreams.
There we go. Ooh.
That's it.
That's a fact. Ideas without execution are just dreams. And with a lot of people, so you came out from Chicago,
yes.
Then going into Hollywood to try to pave your way.
Right.
With a lot of people, it's not so
started
much.
Started before that, but.
You started doing movies even before you went to Hollywood.
No, the vision started before that.
Tell me. I want to know about where you came into yourself to be able to know that this is my gift, this is my talent, this is what I want to do, and to be able to find the ways and actually to be able to materialize and manifest that to the point where you are now. Because I always want to find out the journey. I always want to pick out the principles, the lessons mm-hmm. that we can apply in our own journey,
absolutely.
Regardless of how similar or different that might be,
absolutely.
To be able to get to the finish line that we're trying to get to.
Absolutely. Well, I will say this, no vision comes or no journey comes without the roadblocks, because a lot of times you may have the vision, but you don't know how to get there.
Absolutely.
And that was my case.
Everybody's
case. Right. So all I knew is that I wasn't a 9-to-5 guy. I wasn't a college dude. I can't sit in anybody's classroom and learn some stuff that I know I'm not going to use. So I said, I know I want to go to LA. I can't afford to go to LA. How can I get to LA?
Right.
I'm going to join the Navy.
Okay.
I'm going to join the Navy.
That's a detour. Interesting.
I got stationed in San Diego purposely, okay. Because you have two choices, East Coast or West Coast. And I picked West Coast, and everything, you know, was lining that way. And I had a aunt who was a captain in the Navy at the time. And I said, I have to be stationed in San Diego. I said, if you can pull any strings, just make that happen. Boom. She made it happen. I'm stationed in San Diego. I'm going back and forth every weekend. And this was my kind of baby cradling me into Los Angeles, because.
Because San Diego is in California.
It is in California.
Right.
So I'm 4 hours away from LA.
Yeah.
So that's a quick drive on the 5 freeway, hit up the 405, and boom, I'm in LA.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like my journey, my weekend journey. I got a lot of tickets in between that. That's like driving in between Dubai and Abu Dhabi. I got a lot of tickets in between there, brother. And so that was kind of like my journey. I wasn't able to really full-fledged get jobs and different things because of my obligations still in the Navy.
Yeah.
But I was able to see the city. I was able to feel the city. I was able to meet some people. Mm. And that's typically how the journey started for me. And then I got out of the Navy, moved back home for about 2-3 months. And then I went to New York City. And that's where the real journey began. That's when I was homeless in New York City for about 6.5 months.
Man.
You know, but that's a story of a lot of actors homeless, sleeping in the car. You know, you do the whole thing. But at the time.
So when you're homeless and sleeping in the car, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Can you not get a part-time job to facilitate it? Is it because you're so fully occupied? Tell me how that works. Because I've heard this story in America so many times with people getting homeless.
You have to realize this. And I'm aging myself, but I don't care. I look good.
Come on, bro.
I'm 44.
Yeah.
There was no internet.
Right,
like that,
right?
You
right,
know,
right,
you lucky you had a cell phone.
Mm.
So there wasn't this whole connectivity that you have around the world with, I can link up with this person and that person. It wasn't like that.
Mm.
So I had Backstage magazine that will let you know all of the productions that are going on around the city.
Got it.
And you find out where you can do what. Yeah. I can make money doing a music video. I can make money doing, working over here. I worked at a hair salon for a while. I was sweeping up hair. Shit. And I'll tell you this. I was sweeping up hair in New York City. And guess who comes in the barbershop? Mickey Carter. Mickey Carter is Jay-Z's sister.
Goddamn.
I'm sweeping up, doing it. And my boss at the particular time, he tells me who it is. So I show her my book. I was trying to get in entertainment by any means necessary. And so I showed her my book and she said, it was my modeling book. And she said, yeah, come by the office. And she gave me my first job in entertainment, which was, my second job in entertainment, which was for modeling for Rock Aware. So I did a little show for Rock Aware.
As you continue to tell your story, I'm just going to come and just pull out at some interjections.
Please.
Because I think it's super important to stay true to the vision,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. I always say that there comes a vision.
Absolutely.
There comes a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there comes a manifestation.
Mm.
The majority of people give up in the struggle part because you want to go into Hollywood, you want to work in film, you want to work in movies, this is the dream that you want to follow. It leads you to being homeless, it leads you to sweeping hairs in the barbershop and hair salon and all of that. This is where most people, this is where it makes sense to give up.
Right.
Right. And if you gave up at that point, nobody's going to blame you
right.
for not wanting to sleep in your car. There's right. absolutely nothing glamorous right. exciting.
That's an easy scapegoat.
Okay.
However,
mm-hmm.
90% of the people that fail or quit are employed by the 3% that didn't quit.
100%. So what is it about the strength and the power of your dreams that you don't want to give up at this point? Because at this point, there is no evidence to say that this is going to work out for you.
100%. 100%. To be in entertainment, period, you got to be a little bit crazy.
Fact. Let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. To succeed in anything at the highest level, you've got to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Because you have to believe in something that you can't see, but that's the pure definition of faith.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, we all have faith to believe that we're going to wake up the next morning. We have faith to believe that, whatever we want is going to actually happen. However, you have two choices. You can either move forward in faith or have a 100% guarantee you're not going to succeed if you don't even try it.
Come on now.
So I'd rather have that little bit of inkling of chance or look to the right and say, well, I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Right.
So let me at least try.
Right.
And I always tell myself and I tell anybody that is listening to the sound of my voice, if you're going to step forward to do anything, there is no way that you're not going to hit any kind of roadblocks. Anything worth having, you're going to work for it.
Absolutely.
And so I figure, why not work for something that I want?
Right.
And, I took a bet on myself, and I'd rather take a bet on myself than leave my life in the hands of,
absolutely.
Whatever job is going to give me a 9-to-5 paycheck.
Absolutely.
Because, that's a slow way of dying.
Yeah.
I hate when people come home every day and it's like, I hate my job.
Yep.
I hate
the and then you go do it with. All over again the next day.
It's like,
what kind of life is that?
Yeah, what kind of life is that?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, I couldn't do that to myself.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'd rather struggle for as long as I need to struggle and reach my goal at the end.
Yeah.
And I always told myself, I want to die empty.
Come
I
want
to die having tried everything that I ever wanted to where when I'm laying on that bed and I'm looking up at the upper room, it's like, hey, we did it all.
Absolutely.
All those thoughts of running through your mind and you like, I tried everything wanted to try.
Yeah.
I jumped off cliffs. I jumped out of planes. I did everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No regrets.
I love it. Well, they say the graveyard is the wealthiest place on the planet because all these dreams that just went to die.
Went to die.
Because people did not have the gumption to follow through and follow, you know, on their guts. Follow. When was that break? When was that breakthrough point for you between when you were a struggling, aspiring actor, producer, writer, to when you were like, okay, I'm finally getting somewhere with it.
You know what? I didn't know I wanted to be a writer. I didn't know I wanted to be a producer. I didn't know I wanted to be an actor.
So what were you pursuing?
My whole career started off in music. Yeah, I started off in music. I was writing music for very established artists in New York City. I was gearing into the acting world, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do entertainment, and I wasn't a 9-to-5 guy.
Got it.
And I wanted to do something that where I found my passion, and I slowly found my passion. The reason why I started producing is because I started writing. The reason why I started writing is because in between little acting jobs, you broke.
Yeah.
And actors don't do nothing but do this.
Right.
Handout. Writers actually create scripts that turn into jobs. So I said, let me write myself something. Maybe somebody will, you know, buy it, jump into it. And that actually keeps you sane in between those jobs. And once I write something, I let a few people read it. And they're like, bro, this is good. I'm like, okay, how do I get this on the screen? You learn how to produce as you go. And that's what producing is. It's taking that 100 sheets of paper and turn it into something that you see on the screen. Everything that you do in between that is producing.
Yeah.
Getting your friends to be a part of it. Those are the actors. Okay, asking your buddy that used to do film school in college, hey, can you hold the camera?
Yeah.
Hey, grab one of your buddies to hold the microphone. Like, and you get it done. This is how you can showcase that you have the talent or the skill to be on that next level. And if you don't believe in yourself, you know, this was like Jay-Z selling, you know, or Master P selling records out the back of the car, and you do whatever you need to do to make it happen. They told Jay-Z no.
Yes, of course.
You know, yeah, they told Michael Jordan no. He didn't make the sophomore basketball team, you know. So if all of these people were told no, you know, who is Elijah Long? They told me no.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it's the tenacity that takes you to the next level.
And that no, I continue to say, it doesn't stop. Right?
Never
so
stops.
So in the UK
we still hear no.
Right. Okay. So in the UK we have football, right? Not the American football, what you call soccer.
Soccer, I know what
so,
you mean.
So in soccer, you have your second division, you have your first division, you have your premiership, and then you have your championship teams, right? When you go from second division and you're at the top of the charts and you go into the first division, you're starting from the bottom. When you go from the first division to the premiership team, you're starting from the bottom again. You become a nobody again. When you go from premiership to championship, well, you're in the who's who's. You still don't matter.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Even though that your trajectory of success has grown, has improved, you keep stepping into new heights where in this space, you don't matter. Right? And I keep saying to people, I'm like, that no, the no's do become easier as you get along, but they don't cease. It's just a journey of continuous overcoming at various different stages.
100%.
Right? Because 100%. You raise $5 million to do a movie. Now you are at the point where you want to do a film that's going to require $100 million. That's a different kind of...
That's a different level.
That's a different kind of level.
Magic Johnson said something. He's a basketball player out of America. He said, people get upset with him now. You know, he's hit billionaire status.
Yeah.
People get upset with him now when they come to him with a $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million deal. And he says, nah, I'm good. And like, bro, it's $10 million. He said, I'm going to tell you why. It takes me the same amount of effort to make $10 million as it does to make $1 billion
right.
or $100 million
right.
or whatever it may be. So why would I spend the time doing a $10 million deal because that's big to you?
Absolutely.
Versus the $100 million deal that's going to be worth my while and take me to the next level.
Exactly.
So with that being said, I get a lot of people that DM me, send me messages, and they're, hey, I got this script. I got this thing. And I'm like, bro, that's amazing. And you should do it.
Yeah.
Because if I go from Rambo and then I go and I do your film, that's not helping my career elevate.
Absolutely.
I came from that level. I will give you all the advice. I will lend you resources. I will whatever
yeah.
to help you succeed. Yeah. But I can't put my time and energy
Absolutely.
Into that because it helps you grow,
yeah.
but it doesn't help me grow.
Yeah.
I always say this one line. I say, it is okay to be used, but it's not okay to be useless.
Yes.
And allowing yourself to be used has to be mutually beneficial.
Absolutely.
And I don't mind helping you.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He up there may not mind helping me get up.
Yep.
But it has to be mutually beneficial.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm not adding any value to it, I don't expect him to pull me up.
Yeah.
You know, and you're pulling me down by making me fall, but it's not mutually beneficial.
Listen,
so you have to choose your time wisely.
I fully agree
yeah.
with that principle of what you said about Magic Johnson. Because I always say that you eat at the level of your vision.
100%.
Right? It doesn't require any more
100%.
To be able to pursue a million than it does 100 million.
100 million, exactly.
The reality is it's all boils down to the level of your vision.
100%.
Right? That's 100%. What you're going to, that's where you're going to eat at.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
The tortoise or the turtle and the giraffe both eat leaves.
Mm. Mm.
The difference is one of them eats the leaves at the bottom of the tree.
Mm.
The other one eats the leaves at the top of the tree.
100%. 100%.
Right?
100%.
But it's the journey. You've got to you've got to know where you are.
Right.
And you've got to follow your trajectory of growth.
Right. I love this line. A rapper named Talib Kweli said this. He says, it's impossible to please everybody at the same time.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter when you start pleasing the upper level individuals, you're going to be pissing the lower level individuals off because you're not available to help them
anymore.
Yeah. And so I just put it like this. If you are surrounded by people who are stale faced because you are not helping them at that level and they don't want to see you elevate, you're in the wrong rooms.
Man, it's crazy. This literally hit me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, this girl, Tyler, South African girl,
okay.
with the song
so
Water.
So proud of her, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
So proud of her,
Water has gone incredibly berserk.
Yeah, she just won a Grammy.
There we go. Mm-hmm. She just won it. And before she won this Grammy, she was the sweetheart that everybody was bigging up because she's 22 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got this globally acclaimed song.
Global song, yeah.
Mate.
Yeah.
Do you know the criticism that she's getting for getting that Grammy?
Wow.
And I'm like, yo, this always is a milestone in your growth and your progress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When the masses start immediately coming against you,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's how you know you have graduated from the bottom and gone up.
100%. 100%. You know,
it's crazy.
Listen, you know what he used to say? when my aspirations were to just be an actor.
Yeah.
I said, I can't wait till they call me gay. I was like, wait, what? I can't wait till they call me gay.
Okay.
Because when they care about who I'm sleeping with, I made it.
Boom.
I made it. When you start caring about my personal life,
shit.
That's when I know I made it. Because it's like, that means they're talking.
Okay,
you know?
Shit. You went there. So let's go there. Let's go there. You've worked with Jamie Foxx. You've worked with all of these Hollywood.
Hey, wait. Don't say that right behind what I just said. You got to separate that shit. Like, what are we doing right now? Yeah, let's go there. Jamie Foxx. Like, what the fuck?
Let me land.
You know what I mean? Land this plane, bro. Like, it's ruckus right now. Shit. Oh, Jamie, don't fucking see this shit. There is no correlation between what we were just talking about. There's no off-screen conversation.
I am officially dead.
Go back to it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my word. You know, you hear so many rumors about what happens in Hollywood. And oh, man, I was literally crying tears from that, you know? All these rumors about what happens in Hollywood and the things that you got to do to be able to make it to that level.
It's not that, but go ahead.
I want you to tell it. I want you to tell it because there is people are out there really truly believing. You got to sell your soul. You've got to do. You got to become gay. You got to suck some shit. Something.
So I'll say this. I've seen things. I've heard things. Thank God I've never had to be a part of anything. And if I did have to be a part of anything, I wouldn't have that success because that's not the lane that I would choose.
All right. So you when you say you've seen things, I need you to be a little bit more specific, especially because I asked a very specific question.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to name names or whatever.
Of course.
But what I want to find out is, you know, I always say that I always hear people say, they don't want to be in the part in that dark field in Hollywood and da 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 da. But I feel like, especially if you feel like you're a person of light,
right?
How will there be light if you don't go into so-called darkness?
100
You see what I'm saying?
So I want us.
I'm glad you're here because I want us to shed some light that
absolutely.
It really isn't.
Well, I'll say this: once you reach a certain level in Hollywood, the curtain is pulled back for you to take a peek. All right. Once you take a peek and people know you've taken that peek and you see what's back there, you expect it to participate. However, there are certain levels of viewing that curtain. You know, there is, oh, I had a movie that made $100 million in the box office. Okay. You don't have a career until you start making some white people some money.
Right, right.
Bottom line.
Yes.
All right. That's as candid as I can be.
Correct.
Until you start making some white people some money, you don't have a career in Hollywood. So when I started making other people some money, it's like you get invited to the parties, you get invited to the yachts. And
you're valuable.
You're an asset at that particular time. Now, when you start seeing some of your favorite celebrities have lifestyles that you didn't know they had, it's a shock to you, but everybody on the other side of the curtain already knew.
Right.
You might have heard through the grapevine, read in a tabloid or whatever. Now you're just seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, in real life, you know? And so it's and it's basic stuff. It's like, oh, okay, I didn't know he was gay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I didn't know she swung that way. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Oh, I didn't know they were doing a three-way. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? It's just is what it is, you know? I mean, because I'm sure everybody does crazy stuff in their own personal lives, but, you know, you see the drugs, you see the different way, the lifestyles, you know, you go in certain parties and they take your phone.
Yes.
You know, they take your cell phone. So it's like there's no evidence.
As they should.
Yeah.
You know, I would have house parties and pool parties in my house in England, I'd take your phone too.
Take your phone. You
people want to have privacy and enjoy their lives.
They want to have a good time and be able to let loose. And you have to think about people. Let's just give, let's name two child stars. Let's say Michael Jackson and Justin Bieber.
Right.
All right. Came in this game as kids. Their entire life, they were never a kid.
Yeah.
Because you grew up in a very adult industry. Kids don't run the industry. Other adults run the industry. Mm. So they're running around with other adults seeing adult shit go down. So with that being said, they're forced to grow up very, very fast.
Yeah.
I am so glad that I didn't get success at a young age.
Right.
Because I would have probably mishandled it. I probably would have fumbled it. I probably would have lost it. I probably, like, you know, who knows? I could have been in trouble somewhere. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
But you get the level of success when God wants you to get that level of success. And I mean, I'm appreciative of God's timing. And with that being said, I've never been approached indecently. So I'm thankful for that. I don't know if it's because I haven't hit that next level of success yet or I'm not deemed as valuable enough, but I've never been approached by Illuminati. I've never been approached to do something strange for a piece of change. Like I've never been approached like that.
Does that happen? Is there an Illuminati?
I'm not going to I'll say that I know that that exists.
Yeah.
It hasn't existed in my world yet.
Right.
So with that being said, like I said, I know it exists. It's there. There is, you know, a group of people that run the world, you know. We'll leave it at that.
Fair.
However, I've never been approached to where I've been given an ultimatum to where you do this and you'll get this. I haven't gotten that to that status yet.
Because, you know, Cat Williams been talking, man.
You know what I'm saying?
And he rocked the internet.
He been talking.
And he came for everybody.
He came for everybody from
you know? Steve Harvey to Kevin Hart to Cedric the Entertainer to whoever, you name it. And apparently there is this meeting you get invited to where you're asked to participate in all of these ungodly shit. And it's only with your submission to those protocols that you're able to rise to the next level. I personally have never really believed that.
That's not with everybody.
I don't believe that.
It's not with everybody because I'm too close to
the fire.
Too many powerful people that I have been in deep conversation with, sober and inebriated, to where I would know.
Right.
And the people that I'm extremely close with, they love God.
Right.
And they have a foundation. And I don't think that they're weak enough to be rocked in that way unless they want it to rock in that
way. Exactly.
So, you know, there's very well may possibly be individuals that, you know, not gonna tell me, you know, but I think that I'm close enough with the people that I'm close with to where I would know something.
Yeah, I hear that completely.
Yeah,
I think sometimes a lot of times people throw a lot of shit around.
Absolutely.
And you have to
absolutely because there's a myth to Hollywood.
Yeah,
you know, so
there's a mystery about it.
Yeah, so let me just throw this out there. So you watch a movie and you say, oh my God, how did they get that car to flip? Oh, movie tricks. Everything is smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Everything is smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So it's the mystery, the facade. You're never gonna know how this operates. How is this person making this much money for the? It's Hollywood for a reason because everybody can't be a part of it.
Yeah.
If everybody could be a part of it and everybody could just lift up the veil and see what's behind the curtain, it wouldn't be a mystery.
Yeah, you know? It wouldn't be an exclusive club.
Yeah,
anymore.
So it's like stop trying to figure it out. Take it as entertainment. All of these relationships, so this person is with that person. It's like a lot of these stuff is curated, you know, by publicists. Okay, put him together. Okay, oh, hey, John, hey, I know you got a new client over there. Can we put them with this model and make it look all of this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, everybody banging everybody, you know, it's Hollywood,
it's just
man.
The way it is.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. And I'll tell this to every woman, young woman watching this. If you are getting with a young man who is coming up in the Hollywood industry, don't even try it. Mm. If he's starting to become successful, don't even try it.
Why's that?
Because you cannot compete with what he has to deal with.
Right.
You want, oh no, you have to be, no. This man has to go out with people, hang out with models, be on the boat, be on the yacht, because you have to be seen. It's all about networking. It's all about charisma. People want to be around the star. And it's like, you can't be handcuffed. You can't go out. You can't do, I mean, look at what happened to Jonathan Majors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as far as we know, he could have been texting Megan Good in the car, but
absolutely.
The old girlfriend and his words got misconstrued, and I want to be able to just, you know, advocate on his behalf because he was telling his girl that I am rising to levels that only very few come. I need you to be my Coretta, meaning I need you to just be my support.
Facts.
I need you to not act crazy when we go out. I need you to be calm and be my support, be my peace when I step into these rooms, and I don't need you to be blowing my phone up when I'm coming home. Look, I am doing something major.
Yo, but
I only got one shot.
But this is not even just the Hollywood story.
Yeah.
This is the story of anybody who's coming up, any man who's coming up in success in the world, because the world is so different now. You're expected to go out. Your network is literally your net worth.
Exactly.
You're expected to go out and network. You're expected to be available and accessible to certain degrees to be able to go out and be visible.
Right.
It is that visibility
but a
that
a woman is going to be a woman, and they want that attention.
See, and it's hard. Yeah. It's hard finding the balance because of also the opportunities, right? To be unfaithful and whatever else is also so rife and so accessible.
Right, you don't
even have to go after it anymore.
That's what trust comes in at. That's what trust comes in at, because guess what? If I have the option to go out and be unfaithful to you, I'm going to do it regardless if you're blowing my phone up or if you're not.
Right.
I can turn it off for that 15 minutes and say, my phone died, and finish what I need to do and say, I just got the charge. I went into a restaurant and plugged it in, and Superman, just to get your phone call. It's like, come on, man. You know, so it's like, it don't matter if you keep blowing me up, keep checking my location, seeing if I post something on Instagram. Like, stop.
I hear you.
Because you're driving your own self crazy.
Yeah.
People are responsible for themselves. The only person that you can control is yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you feel that you have to call and blow up somebody's phone for them to be faithful to you, you don't need to be there.
I agree. You don't need to be there. And sometimes also you need to take some time and check yourself.
And work on yourself.
And work on yourself. Because, 100%. You know, we are in, and as everybody wants a made man. Everybody wants a made man these days. Every woman wants a made man,
but they don't know how they're made.
And you don't understand, a lot of you want things that you're not ready for.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you're not the only person who wants that. Right?
I'm one of them people.
Right.
I'm one of them people, and I'm gonna tell you why. I thought I was ready for fame, and I wasn't.
Yep.
I got on a TV show and I got nominated for an Emmy twice.
Yeah.
And she just won one recently, Niecy Nash. She's like my god sister. She's my daughter's godmom. Super close. We've been rocking since I was like 24. Oh my god.
Yeah.
24. 20 I'm 44 years, now. I've been rocking with Niecy. Niecy, we've been rocking 20 years. Oh my god. And so we've been rocking for a while. Before Niecy could even get a drama audition, we've been rocking. And she used to help me with my auditions, and she used to always tell me how to move, you know, how to maneuver through this industry. And when I got nominated for an Emmy, I realized that I didn't really like the fame. You know, you get a lot of fake phone calls, you get a lot of fake people coming up to you, and it just got to the point where it's just like, I don't like how this feel. I like going to the grocery store.
Right.
You know, I don't never want to be too famous to where I can't go out and do regular stuff. And in LA, there's a filter. And what I mean by that is I could go to the grocery store and I could see Denzel. So it's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they really don't care about me. Mm-hmm. But you step out of LA, and you go into them consumer cities, Chicago, St. Louis, down south in different places. It's like, oh, you're in that show. And it's like, whoa, bro, I'm just trying to eat, man. My mom is, you know?
Yeah,
and so it's very intrusive.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I didn't like that everybody knew who I was. Yeah. And I wasn't even as big as like a Chappelle or somebody that. So I can only imagine what they go through.
Right.
And so that's when I started saying, let me see what's up with this writing and being behind the scenes. And I realized that behind the scenes makes a whole lot more money, you know, a whole lot more power, you know? And so I said, I'm cool on the acting until I want to. Every once in a while, I get that, like I want to get into the in front of the camera. Kind of like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I've always wanted Mark Wahlberg's career. Yeah. You jump in front of the camera whenever you want to, but guess what? I'm producing Entourage. I'm producing this movie. I'm producing, you know, that's why I love the business of the business, you know? And that's what drives me. That's
I absolutely gets me love it, because for me, you know, I had a TV show in the UK from 2008 to 2013.
Okay.
And we had everybody on there, from Maze to like all of these American guys were coming. There's a music chat show.
Okay.
And I didn't know any better about television other than being in front of the camera. Until 2012, I wanted to get my show syndicated globally. It was in the UK. I wanted it around the world. And I would call all the major distributors and nobody would was interested in touching my show. So I literally picked up the phone and started making these calls myself. I would call up broadcasters. And that was in 2012. By the end of 2012, the show was in 60 countries. It was all over Africa. I'd go on holiday in Barbados, Jamaica. Everybody recognized me. My dad, who never talked about me before, now everybody knew me in Ghana. So they would, he'd go out talking my name.
I love it.
And what I had created was a distribution company. I didn't know that there was any such thing.
Okay.
So I would go to, you know, I had went to the likes of Dietrich Haddon, Kirk Franklin, all of these guys who were making movies at the time, who I was close with. And I was like, look, at the time, Preachers of LA had just been produced. And I was like, let me get your guys, you guys stuff outside of, outside of US. And so I started doing distribution. Distribution was making me more money actually than doing the presenting.
Boom.
So in 2013, I came off screen and I've been focusing on distribution ever since, literally. Yeah. So there are so many different careers and so many different avenues to be able to make money in the industry from even behind the scenes.
100%.
Right now we, from Paramount to Lionsgate to Tyler Perry Studios to all of that, we represent all of their stuff.
That's amazing.
Outside of the US.
That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But there's all these careers that, you know, because I realized as well, I was like, you know what, for me, the fame, it's not something that I pursue. In order to get my message across, more people are going to know it. And I'm going to become familiar with more people, which would mean that there would be a level of notoriety that comes along with that.
Absolutely.
Now I'm comfortable to accept and receive that because I'm in a different space of my life where I'm comfortable.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'm comfortable with me. When I was doing the TV show and a million people were watching me a week and I have to go and catch the bus, it was a little bit more uncomfortable then.
You know, in piggybacking off of that, think about it. Mike Tyson went broke.
Mad, isn't it?
Only thing he had was his name. So he starts slapping his name on things. Imagine the whole world knowing, you know, excuse my language. Imagine the whole world knowing that you fucked up.
It's mad, isn't it?
That you blew all of your money. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's as embarrassing as the whole world watching Kim Kardashian's entire date life.
Right.
You look like a whore if you're watching it on TV.
Yeah.
But look at the average 25 to 35 year old. They date. It's 2-3 guys a year. That's all she was doing. But she looks like, you know, but at the same time, you know, I just really feel that as an actor, you are acting, but the money doesn't match the fame.
Yeah.
And I can't go back to my restaurant job.
Yeah.
You know, after I was just on TV, you know, NBC. Oof. And it's like, I go back to work like, can I take your order, please?
It's that painful in between.
It's that painful in between. And so, like, this is when I started writing. And I'm like, okay, let me write a script. Let me see if I could take this into another direction. Yeah. Let me see if I could tap into another part of the industry to where it's like you don't have that painful in between. Man.
Yeah.
It's a reality that
it's a reality that anybody and everybody is going to face, though. Any visionary, anybody who has a vision, because you have to arrive at the vision before you arrive at the vision.
For sure. For sure.
Right?
For sure.
And when you've arrived at the vision internally and the rest of this material world hasn't caught up yet, it is the great discomfort. That's
absolutely
where that disparity,
yes,
literally you wake up and you're burning up and you're vexed.
Yes.
Because I am who I am, but you can't see who the fuck
you
I am, but I'm not who I used to be.
You know what? Drake says a line and he says, it's crazy when you are who you think you are.
Do you know how much I love that line?
You don't understand the power in that line. Like when you look in the mirror and you see something and then the world finally catches up, that's powerful, bro. Man. You know, I had that moment riding down Sunset.
Yeah.
And 5 years ago, I saw Beyonce on the same billboard sitting on top of the Kodak Theater where the Oscars happens.
Yeah.
And she had the big Pepsi billboard. And I used to always say in my head, I'm going to have that billboard one day. and to ride down the street and to see Rambo on that billboard.
Isn't that some shit?
It was just like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you have no idea what it took for me to get there.
Absolutely.
And to do it in a way to where I was able to bring my brother, you know, Damane Radcliffe along. And we partnered and did that whole thing together. It was just a beautiful, beautiful moment. And shout out to Damane and Afion Crockett. They got an amazing comedy coming out. That Damane, this is his directorial debut, so I'm so proud of my brother. But it's amazing to hit these milestones. Absolutely. And then help each other to keep climbing. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Bro.
Listen, we can keep going about these gems all day long. You've got an exciting project that's coming up.
Yes.
I want you to talk about this project. I want you to talk about what inspired it.
Mm.
And the world is going to see it soon.
The world is definitely going to see it soon. The connecting between two of us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I got a project called Vision Central coming out. It's one of the reasons why I came to Dubai as quick as I did.
Yeah.
Vision Central is essentially a bromance mixed with a little bit of a love story that crosses the cultures. That was my main objective. I wanted to cross the cultures to where I had an American man fall in love with an Arabic heiress.
Yeah.
And on screen, they have to have that uncomfortable conversation as to why you're not good enough for my daughter.
Oof.
You know, and there's a line that was written in that particular movie. And this guy is wealthy, wealthy. And he says, it doesn't matter how wealthy I am in America. My status doesn't matter in your country.
Yeah.
So it's essentially saying, I could have all the money in the world, but I'm still a whatever you want to call me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's a lot of the anxiety that us as Black brothers walk around with in America.
Absolutely.
It's like, it don't matter how successful you get, you still a...
Yeah.
You know, and so with that being said, I wanted to build in Dubai because I didn't feel like here.
Yeah.
I felt like a person here. Yeah. I felt like I'm contributing to society. I was brought out here by some of the royal family. So with that being said, it's like, we want you here. We want you to help build and to be able to partner with the city of Abu Dhabi and UAE. It was just a match made in heaven. They welcomed us with open arms. So Vision Central will be somewhere soon.
Yes.
I'm not going to say where, but it'll be somewhere soon. Yes. And I'm really looking forward to the world seeing this project and developing more in the UAE and in Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. Listen, brother, you're doing some amazing stuff. It's inspiring.
Thank you.
It's inspiring. I'm glad that there is a position for us. Now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And we are going out there fearless and we're taking the bulls by the horns.
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? And 100%. We're here and we're producing not stereotypical projects,
absolutely,
but just high quality projects that you can sit on any platform.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's
absolutely
about that time.
Absolutely.
It's about that time. So keep working, brother.
Man, thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate you for coming on here
thank
and sharing
you for
your story.
Me, man. Blessings, man.
Elijah
Blessings.
Long. Listen, guys, thank you for thank you for sticking with me. Another episode of the Moving Mountains podcast. Same time next week.
Let's do it.
All new episodes drops every Monday and Wednesday, available on all platforms.